I would ask you to take your time through the Word of God and join me in the book of James, James chapter 1, verse 4. James chapter 1, verse 4. Notice what the Word of the Lord says to us this morning. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If you have never experienced this, you will. You may be experiencing it right now. Regardless of your experience of it or your lack of experience of it, it is inevitable. There are going to be times when God is silent. His silence will be deafening in your life. You pray and pray and pray and nothing. No assurance, no peace, no answers, no confirmation, nothing but silence. People will share platitudes with you. You know, those sayings that people crochet and then hang on the wall, but do absolutely nothing for you at a time like this. I was going through a period of silence in my life when it seemed like that God was silent, when I just didn't seem to sense God's presence, His power in my life. There was a lack of peace. There was a seeming that God was not listening, that the heavens were as brass. And I was pouring out my heart to some individuals about this and sharing with them my burden, my agony of dealing with this. And I will never forget a lady, as soon as I got through sharing that, just opening up and saying how I was struggling and how agonizing it was, she made the statement, she said, "Well, you just have to remember that God will never put more on you than you can handle." And my response was simply, "So what?" I mean, those words seem so shallow and so empty. I realized that the lady wanted to help, but those words were absolutely shallow and devoid of comfort, devoid of hope. And so when God is silent, where do you turn? When God is silent, you must turn to what God has already spoken. You must anchor yourself in the Word of God. You must dig into the truth of the Word of God. You must turn to what God has already revealed in His written Word. When God is silent, the Bible reveals that there are certain actions that you must take. These actions are not a quick fix. They're not a sure cure for the struggle that you're going through, but they are essential in helping you be faithful to walk with God and to grow through the times of His silence. To grow through those times when you can't sense the presence of God or feel the power of God, or it seems as if the heavens are His breath. The Bible tells us, first of all, that when God is silent, your first action must be to not panic. When God is silent, don't panic. When you experience the silence of God, it could be unanswered prayer. You pray and you pray and you pray, and there is seemingly no answer. There is no confirmation. There is no leading. Perhaps it could be a time in which you go through a time of sensing that God's presence is not as real to you. You're not sensing the power of God as you once did. It could be that you're going through a time where a lot of bad things are happening to you. A lot of things that are not good are taking place in your life, and it feels as if God has abandoned you, that God is no longer there, that God is no longer taking care of you, that God is no longer concerned. When you experience times like this, do not panic. Don't let your imagination run wild. When God is silent, it is not time to feel that God has abandoned you. It is not time to feel that God no longer cares about you. It is not time to doubt your salvation. It is not time to question the validity of the Christian faith. For you see, I've had people come to me and have confessed to me these times of silence that they're going through, and everyone has had the response of either, "Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not," or "Perhaps God doesn't love me anymore. Perhaps God has abandoned me." I've even had people say to me that, "You know, I don't know if God's real anymore. That I don't know if the Bible really true. Is Christianity a reality?" But you see, those are knee-jerk reactions. Those are reactions based upon frustration and fear and not faith. It's a common response when you experience this. I mean, there's nothing wrong with telling God how you feel about this. But you cannot continue in a state of panic. You cannot allow the fear and the frustration to dominate your mind and your heart. And the reason for that is it will hinder your fellowship with God. It will hinder your faithfulness to God. It gives the devil an opportunity to work in your life. And it can be an obstacle to what God wants to do. Now, look at the verse of Scripture we read a moment ago. James chapter 1, verse 4. And notice what the Word of God says. It says in James 1, 4, "But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." What James is saying is that when you're in the midst of the test of your faith, that when you are going through trials of your life, that you are to be patient and endure. You are to trust God and to believe and know that God is at work in your circumstances, that God is at work in your situation. What does God want for you? When He is silent, when you think the heavens are as brass, when you can't touch God or feel God or sense His presence or His power, what should characterize your life? Patience, not panic. So that God's work can be done. Patience. Trusting that even in the silence, that even in the lack of answers, even in the loss of the sense of His presence, that God is at work. You don't have to panic, because this has been the experience of believers throughout church history. I want you to understand today that you don't have to panic. You can't exercise patience, because that is exactly what the people of God throughout church history have done. If you will take your copy of the Word of God and join me in Psalm 10, I want to show you how others have experienced this. Psalm 10, verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. And notice what the Word of the Lord says to us this morning out of Psalm 10, verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. The Word of God says, the psalmist crying out here, praying to God, says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" Listen to the agony. Listen to the brokenness. He says, "Why do you stand afar off?" He says, "Lord, where are you? It seems like you're far away from us." And He says, "Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" He's saying, "Lord, I don't see, I can't sense you. I can't feel your presence or your power. It seems like you have abandoned us." And now, if you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Psalm 22, verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. And notice what the Word of God says there. Again, the psalmist is crying out in this text of Scripture. He says, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" Do you hear the agony? Do you hear the brokenness? Do you hear the sense that one is has been abandoned by God, that God is silent? Because He says in the text, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He says, "Lord, it feels as if you have forsaken me." And then it says, "Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning?" He said, "It feels like you've abandoned me and that you're not listening to what I'm saying." You see, throughout the Psalms, the writers speak of experiencing God's silence, of times when it appears that God is far away, that God is not listening, that God is simply not hearing, that He is not going to help. They express their agony. They declare their heartbreak. And today, you should not panic when you experience God's silence in your life, because your situation is not unique in that you're not being singled out. It is not like no one else has ever faced this. I want you to know today that you are not alone in this struggle. You're not walking this path by yourself. There are thousands upon millions of believers that have experienced the same situation. There are those who have gone ahead, and who have experienced God's silence. They went through times when it felt like that God was nowhere to be found, that God was not listening, that God had somehow forsaken them. But I want you to know that they pressed through, and God blessed them, God touched them, God strengthened them, God used them. I want you to know that you don't have to panic, because believers have experienced this, they've lived through it, they've prospered through it, they've grown through it. And all you understand is God will never forsake you. God will never abandon you. But there are times when you will feel as if He has. God listens to you, but there are times when He is going to withdraw that sense of your knowing He's listening. Withdrawing that sense that He is hearing you and going to answer you. There are going to be times in your life, in your Christian walk with the Lord God, that you're going to sense the loss of His presence in your life. But you don't have to panic. You should pray. You should be patient, letting God do His work in your life. But you don't have to panic. When God is silent, don't panic. Don't give in to the fear. Don't give in to the frustration. Pray. Be patient. There's a second action that the Word of God reveals to us today about the fact of God's silence, of what we're to do when He is. And when God is silent, the second thing, a second action you and I must take is to seek Him with all your strength. When a believer experiences a time like this, there is the tendency to slack off in one's prayer life. There is the attitude of, well, God's not listening. He's not going to answer. So why should I pray? Why should I be faithful to Him? If God's not listening, if I can't sense Him or know His presence or power, if I don't think God's listening, then why pray? I'll just forget about it. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to diligently seek Him. Yet when God is silent, it should make you seek Him with all your heart, with all your strength. It should move you to pray with all your intensity. Praise Him with all your might. Confess your sins with a broken passion. Thank Him continually. Bring your request to Him in faith and with persistence. And you may say, why? Why do you do this when God is silent? When you don't think God's listening, why do you then seek Him with all your strength? Because God's silence is often an invitation to a deeper, more intimate relationship with Him. Now, there are reasons why we go through this kind of a time. I want you to understand that one of the reasons, sometimes, is God is trying to draw you closer to Himself. When God is silent, it is often God calling you to pray and to enter the next level of maturity in prayer and in trust toward Him. If you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Isaiah 50, verse 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10. One of my favorite verses of Scripture. One that has brought me great comfort and joy in the times of God's silence. In the times when I couldn't sense the presence of the power of God. In times when it seemed like there were no answers. Notice what the Word of God says in Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. Now, notice what it says in the text of Scripture here. It says, who walks in darkness and has no light. What is that a description of? That's a description of the time when God is silent. When you don't sense the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God in your life like you have before. When you feel like there are no answers. When you pray and there just doesn't seem to be an answer to any kind of leading. Isn't that an apt description of this kind of a time? Walking in darkness with no light? But what should the believer's response be? What should you do in this kind of a time? Should you slack off? Should you back off? Should you doubt God? Should you question the character of God? Should you question the validity of the Christian faith? No, what does it say in the text of Scripture? He says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon His God. You must trust Him and seek Him, even though you walk in darkness and you have no light. Even though you have no answers and you don't sense God's presence, you must cry out to Him and depend on Him. Even in the darkness, when you don't have any light, you're to cry out to Him. Seek Him when there are no answers, when God seems to be silent, when it seems as if God is far away, you must cry out to Him. You must seek Him with all your heart and soul. If you will, take your copy of the Word of God to Hosea 5. I'm going to show you this in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15. And notice what the Word of the Lord says here. Hosea chapter 5, verse 15.
The Word of God says, God is speaking here to His people and says, I will return again to my place. So they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will diligently seek me. God says, first and foremost, He says, I will return again to my place. And what that is meaning is, God is saying, I'm going to withdraw from them the sense of my presence. I'm going to withdraw from them the sense of my power. I'm going to withdraw from them the sense of my love. I'm going to take those things away. I'm going to let them experience the time of my silence when they have no answers, when they can't sense me, when they can't feel me, when they can't know my presence or my power. Why does God do that? Then they will seek my face. God was going to withdraw the sense of His presence and His power. He was going to remove His blessing. Now, He was still there. He was going to be there for the people. They just couldn't sense Him nor hear Him. Whenever I fly, I cannot get over this. No matter how many times I take off and see this, I never cease to be amazed by it. But so many times when I'm flying out to a meeting to preach somewhere, we'll leave the ground and it'll be cloudy and messy and overcast. And we'll climb up through the clouds and then we'll get on up above the clouds and there's the sun. Now, on the ground, you can't see the sun because there's all the clouds there, but the sun is still there. And that's much like our experience of the silence of God. You can't feel Him. You can't sense Him. You feel like He's gone, but He's still there. Just the sense of His presence is gone. The sense of His power. The sense of His blessing. And why does God do that? Why did God do that to Israel? Why does God do that to us? So that we might seek Him. So that we might cry out to Him and depend on Him. Sometimes God will be silent in order to create a greater longing in you for Himself. God wants to teach you that you need Him. He wants to reveal to you how dependent you really are on Him. For the child of God, this is the worst experience that one can endure. To lose the sense of God's presence and power. To lose the sense of God's love and care. To have the feeling that God is not listening. What dreadful calamities for the child of God. God will remove the sense of His presence and His power to cause you to cry out for Him. To move you to desire Him above all those things. He will not answer sometimes to move you to greater intensity and greater maturity in prayer. That's why when God is silent, when you feel like God's far away, when you feel like maybe the heavens are as brass, that is the time to seek the Lord. That is the time to cry out to the Lord. So the Bible reveals to us that when God is silent, what actions must we take? First of all, don't panic. Second of all, seek Him with all your heart and strength. The Bible reveals the third action that we must take when God is silent, and it's simply this. When God is silent, examine yourself to see if there are any hindrances. Sometimes God is silent in order to draw you into a more intimate relationship with Himself. But sometimes it is to chastise us for our sins. Now, that's not always the case, but it can be sometimes. We must have a balance here. You know, it's like I was saying earlier, you don't panic. So many times when people experience the silence of God, when they go through a time in which they feel like God is far away or that God is not listening, they immediately jump to the conclusion, I've done something evil. I've done something sinful. And that may not always be the case. But we must be sensitive to that truth. And it's the worst thing that can happen to a child of God is for to lose the sense of God's presence, to lose the sense of power, His peace, to feel as if the heavens are as brass. It is the worst experience for the child of God. I mean, there's nothing worse to feel as if God is far away because you are His child. He is your Father. And for that reason, because it is the worst experience for the child of God, because it is such a dreadful calamity, God will use this to show us His displeasure over our sin and our need to repent. If you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. And that's what the Word of God says here. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear." Isaiah is speaking here for the Lord God. These are the very words of the Lord. And God is saying to his prophets and people in verse 1, he says, "The Lord's hand is not short and it cannot save, his ear is heavy that it cannot hear." God is saying the problem is not on my end. He said, "I still have the power to save." He said, "I still have an open ear to hear." He says, "The problem is on your end. It is on your side." He says, "Because your iniquities have separated you from your God. They have placed a barrier up between God and you." And it says this, "And your sins have hidden his face from you." The face of, when that's like God's face, his face in the Old Testament, it is speaking of the presence of God. And so what does he say? He says, "Your sins have hidden his face from you." Your sins have caused him to withdraw the sense of his presence. You're not experiencing the sense of his presence and his power because of your sin. Sin moves God to show us his hatred of our sin. And that's why God is sometimes silent. God sometimes is silent to let you know just how much he hates evil. Just how much he hates the personal sin in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 66, verse 18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." What that word "regard" there says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, meaning if I cherish sin in my heart, if there are things in my life that I do not want to get rid of, that I choose to hang on to, the Bible says that the Lord will not hear. And I've got news for you. If the Lord will not hear, then you're not going to hear either. If he's not hearing you, you're not going to experience his power, his presence, his peace, or his love like you can until you deal with that sin. When God is silent, it may be God's chastisement. It may be God disciplining you for the rebellion that you committed against him and his word. He desires to show you how sin grieves him and how sin angers him. He will do this by removing the sense of his presence, by taking away the sense of his love, by not answering prayer, by giving you the sense that the heavens are as brass and that he's not listening. He shows you his grief over your sin by letting you experience grief over his silence. When you experience God's silence, examine yourself. Look at your life to see if there's any unconfessed sin. Look and see if there's any sin that you have not honestly dealt with. If there's something in your life that you're cherishing, something in your life that you're clinging to, something in your life that you're hanging on to that is causing God to withdraw that sense of presence and power and love, that's causing you not to answer, not to listen, so that you might deal with it. Plead with the Spirit of God to reveal anything to you that is causing you to experience the silence of God. Simply cry out to the Holy Spirit and ask him to show you. If you're experiencing a time of silence, then go to the Spirit of God and say, "Holy Spirit, reveal anything to me that is causing me to not experience the presence and the power of God. Cause me to see what is hindering my prayers, what is causing me to feel this lack of God's listening, this fact that I don't think God is listening, this sense that the heavens are his brass." When God is silent, the Bible tells us that there are certain actions we should take, and the next action that we should take is that when God is silent, pray yourself from agony to praise. If you will, take your copy of the Word of God and turn to Psalm 10. Psalm 10, and we begin in verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. We read that from a moment ago, but I want to go back and show you this principle from the Word of God. Psalm 10, verse 1. Psalm 10, verse 1. This was the common practice of the psalmist. Their prayers would begin with brokenhearted agony and end with glorious praise. An example of this is found here in Psalm 10. Now in verses 1 and 2, listen to his agony. He says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised." He's in agony. He's saying, "God, it feels like you're so far away. It feels like that you're not listening. It feels like that you've hidden yourself in this time when I need you the most. It feels like that you're not there." And he says that there are wicked people who are persecuting me, that there are wicked people who are devising plots against me. You're hidden. You have seemingly departed, and these wicked people are plotting against me and persecuting me. Then in verses 3 through 13, he details the situation that he is in. He describes with great detail the wicked that desire to destroy him, the wicked that are plotting against him and that are trying to overthrow him, that are trying to persecute the poor. And that moves him to petition God's deliverance in verses 14 through 16. And then, notice how he ends his prayer. He begins in verse 16 by saying, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of this land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." He ends with praise to God and trust in God. Now notice the psalmist poured out his heart to God. He laid out before God his struggle, his frustration, his despair. He goes into great detail about his situation and his need. He withholds nothing from the Lord. He lays it on the line, yet he does not stop there. He continues to pray, making requests of God. He realizes that God alone can handle the situation. He then comes back to the greatness of God in verse 16. He says, "The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his hand." Notice in verse 1, he says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And so he prays until he gets to the point that he can say, "The Lord is king forever and ever." And notice the contrast in verse 18. Verse 18 says, "Do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more." Notice the contrast between the fact that the Lord is king forever and ever and that the man of the earth. That phrase there means the earthling, the man of weakness, the man of helplessness. You see in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Lord, you're far away. It seems like you're distant. Man, so powerful." Now in verse 16 and 18, he says, "Lord, you're reigning. You're the king. You're in control. And this man that is against me, that persecutes me, he is weakling. He is helpless. He is hopeless." He begins his prayer with a hidden Lord and overpowering men. He ends his prayer with a reigning Lord and weak and helpless men. How did this happen? He prayed through his frustration and fear. He pled with God until he began praising God. When God is silent, pray until your fear becomes faith. Pray until your frustration turns into praise. Pour out your complaint before the Lord. Go into detail about your pain and your struggle. Do not quit pleading until you turn that frustration to praise. Don't stop with your complaints. Don't stop with your fears. Don't stop with your frustrations. Yes, it is okay to take your complaints. It's okay to take your fears. It's okay to take your frustrations. God is a God who loves you. He cares about you. He wants you to cast all your care on Him, for He cares for you. But don't stop with just those things. But pray through petition, pray through until your prayer turns into magnificent praise to God. Why do you do this? Because the Bible teaches us that praise releases the power of God. Psalm 22, verse 3 says that God is enthroned in the praises of His people. When you praise God, God releases His power. God shows up powerfully present in that situation. Sometimes the silence of God can be broken. Sometimes your loss of the sense of the presence of God, His power in your life, it can be dealt with if you will praise Him. If you'll give Him that sacrifice of praise and just give glory and honor Him, just let adoration flow out of you to Him. And the second reason why you should do it is because it will cause you to focus on God's greatness. Even if you still sense the silence of God, even if you still sense a lack of God's listening, a lack of God's hearing, a lack of God's answering. When you praise Him, it fixes your focus back on God. It encourages your faith. It will sustain you in the midst of this silence. When God is silent, free yourself from agony, from frustration, to faith and to praise. There's a final action the Word of God reveals to us that we're to take when we are experiencing God's silence, when it feels as if God is far away. If you want to take your time from the Word of God, turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." When God is silent, ask God to teach you to walk by faith and not by sight. As a believer, you're to walk by faith, not by what you can see, not what you can feel, not what you can experience, but by trust in what God has said, what God has promised. When God is silent, it is a great time for you to learn how to walk by faith. It is an opportunity to develop the ability to trust God no matter what. It is a wonderful opportunity for you to learn how to trust God by what you believe, by your faith in Him, rather than by what you feel, by what you see, by what you experience. Faith is built through adversity. One has to walk through seasons and situations where you can't see or feel anything. You have to go through those times in your life where you can't see or feel anything as far as the presence of God, the power of God. You have to walk through those times where it seems as if there are no answers, where you're walking in the darkness and there is no light. The ability to trust God is developed when there are no answers, when you can't sense God's presence. Your experience of God's silence can be an opportunity for you to grow in your trust of the Lord. It can be an opportunity to develop your ability to trust God by what you know, by the truth of the Word of God, by the promises of God, rather than by what you feel or what you experience. I was preaching a message once in a church on suffering out of James chapter 1. We're speaking of that verse of scripture we read a while ago, James 1:4, about letting patience have its perfect work, and how I was trying to get the point across, was trying to illustrate the point that we're not to waste our suffering. That suffering is bound up, but let's redeem it. Let's use it for the glory of God. There was a young lady in the church that had lost her baby through sudden infant death syndrome. It's a terrible tragedy. Her and her husband had wanted a child for so long. They had prayed. They had waited. They had done everything that they could. And finally, and just miraculous answer to prayer, God gave them a little girl. A couple of weeks later, they woke up one morning and found her dead in her crib. Nothing they could have done. It just happened overnight. It was absolutely one of those things that there was nothing that they could do. And this young woman went through a terrible time of doubt, of frustration, fear. And she was there that morning. I was preaching that message on James 1:4, and when the invitation was extended, she was the first one to come down the aisle. And I remember she came and we embraced, and I asked her what I could pray for about it, what was her particular need, and all she could do was weep. And I will never forget what she said once she got her composure. She said, "I want you to pray with me that I won't waste any of this suffering, any of this pain." And God drew her through that time and did a powerful work of grace in her heart and her life. What am I saying? Don't waste your opportunities to grow in your ability to trust God. Don't waste the opportunities that you've got to learn to walk with God even when you have no light and all things aren't. Yes, it is a difficult time when God is silent. And today I don't want to minimize the pain you're feeling, the struggle that you're going through. I don't want to in any way say that what you're feeling and what you're experiencing is anything less than what you are experiencing. But don't waste this time. Redeem it by seeking God and digging in His Word and asking God, Father, teach me how to walk by faith and not by feeling. Teach me to walk by faith and not by what I see or what I feel. If you will do that, I promise you, He will teach you. The Bible tells us there are certain actions that we should take when God is silent. Perhaps today you're going through that time. Perhaps today you're experiencing that. Maybe the heavens are brass. Maybe you feel as if God is far away. Maybe today you're struggling, you're suffering, and it seems as if God doesn't care, that God is nowhere to be found. Today, will you seek Him? Right now, will you go to Him? And will you cry out to Him? Don't panic. Seek Him with all your heart. Ask Him to help you use this time. Examine yourself. See if there is something not right in your life. Will you pray yourself from frustration and agony to fear and praise? Let me pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person that hears this, and especially for those that feel Your silence today. Those that right now are just struggling with the sense that You're far away, that the heavens are as brass, that there are no answers, there are no leadings. For those that are really suffering and are wondering where You are, Father, I pray that Your perfect work would be done in their life, that they would be perfect and mature, lacking nothing, because You're working in their life. Help them to submit themselves to You, to seek You with all their heart, to examine themselves, not to panic, but to seek You and to learn how to walk with You even in the darkness. Father, bless them, meet their spiritual needs, draw them through this time, deepen them, mature them, bless them. For it's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen.